Season 4, Episode 17, A Wretched...
What a dump! Oh, that was the last episode. My bad. What's on the...
Season 4, Episode 17, A Wretching Experience.
Wretching.
Wrenching.
Fetching.
Simone and Sipwas catch DOA Tony Perez, 23, and apparently three dudes just walked up to him and shot him, according to his girlfriend.
In the street.
In the street, and they...
Brah!
And they stole her jacket.
That sucks. It's probably chilly in the morning.
When they look at the body, Sipowicz says, whoa, they weren't saving on bullets.
Didn't she say that they walked up and shot him in the head?
They just shot him a bunch.
Oh, okay. I thought she said that they had shot him in the head, and then he said that, and that kind of was weird, because it was like, did they put like a bunch of bullets in his head? Because you really only need one.
The girlfriend is there, Wanda Diaz. Wanda Diaz, not Sykes. She didn't do any stand-up while in the episode.
Must have got a lot of new material.
They took her jacket after the shooting. She said they were three early 20s Latinos.
Latinx, Kurt, come on.
Latinx, well, they all were dudes, so they were Latinos.
Latinx, bro. You can't assume their gender. Don't you dare assume you know what they want to identify as. Are you fucking kidding me?
People that may or may not have had their genes be somewhat related to Latin nations.
Latinx, bro. Get with it.
She is not going to go look at mug books. She isn't going to give any names. She's not going to really assist in any way, and she wanted to leave to go talk to her work.
She don't want to do shit.
Simone says that she's pretty cold, and they say she probably knows who did it, but doesn't want to give it up. And then Sipowicz said maybe she's holding back out of respect for her coat. Then we have the theme song to NYPD Blue. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where two brothers, me being Kirk, the other being Kyle.
Do they ever talk about the coat? Like, did they ever talk about, like, what kind of coat it was, like, the designer?
No, they just said it was a jacket or a coat. They never talked about what kind of coat.
Like, anyway. Was it a Versace?
Versace?
A Gucci?
I thought it was a Dolce & Gabbana.
A Burberry? A Burberry?
A Burberry?
Did you go get that Burberry?
Anyway, that hilarious humor is Kyle, and this is NYPD Blue Balls. This is the theme song to NYPD Blue.
Dun, 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 dun. Ba-na-na. Welcome back to our Mission Impossible podcast, where we watch every single episode of the Mission Impossible TV show. Kirk, how did you feel about that last episode of Mission Impossible? It's like Ethan Hunt almost got killed, but then he got out of it right at the last minute.
For anybody else, the mission would be impossible. So I'm not 100% sure where to start on this episode.
Well, Ethan Hunt is walking down the street. He gets a letter, and it's like, hey, do you want to do this? And he's like, sure, I'll do it. And it's like, well, if you're going to do it, get rid of this letter, otherwise it's going to blow up on you. And then he throws the letter away, and he's on a mission. Is it an impossible mission? Maybe. For some. But not for everybody.
Because we have three different investigations and stories going on at the same time.
First investigation, where did your manhood go? Just pick one and go with it at this point. It doesn't matter. What do you think the main one is? Like, if this was the comedy room or whatever the people play at in L.A.
The comedy room.
Which one's the main room? What's the belly room? What's the Chris D'Elia room?
Well, he's always at the store, the comedy store.
The store, there we go. But they have different rooms. So what room is what? You gotta find your room, Kirk.
Well, if we're going based off the title, it's probably Martinez and Medavoy's case.
And let's go.
Well, first, Martinez is reading about the Knicks when we come back from the break, and he says he's not too optimistic about the Knicks. Wait, is that right now or back then?
Oh, the Knicks haven't been good for a while.
He's saying the Knicks aren't looking good this year, and then Medavoy comes up, and he's brimming with happiness because he's going to have dinner with the lesbians. And I'm thinking, just by his overall nature, he thinks it's a three-way.
Probably. He's probably that dumb. I could see that. I could see him thinking, like, oh, I'm about to, like, scarf down.
Well, this is also the dude where Abundando just fell into his lap. So he lives in a world where things like that could just
face
happen.
Down, too. It isn't weird because, like, white men wrote these stories, but it is weird that, like, Abundando is all about him.
So Medavoy's bragging about possibly having three-way with these lesbians because for some reason he thinks that's on the menu. And I think even Martinez is like, dude, they're not going to have sex with you.
There's no way. They're not going to have sex with them. No way.
Martinez and Medavoy get a DOA at a transmission shop.
Oh, yeah.
And they go over there, and the gentleman who's dead is Mel Ingen, or Igen, who is an owner of the business. And it looks like it was also a robbery. He was shot in the head on top of a beating.
He was shot in the head on top of the beating.
Because someone beat him about the face and then shot him in the head. And a customer found him and called it in, but split. A guy who works at the shop named Donnie DeMarco.
Donnie!
He comes in. Or is it Donnie or Danny?
Danny.
It's Danny?
It's Donnie. It's Danny Donnie.
Well, it's kind of important.
It's not really.
We're basically journalists for a TV show that was on the air 20 years
ago.
It's
Danny Darko.
It's Danny or Donnie.
It's Donnie Danny Darko.
Baby DeMarco is...
Donnie Danny David DeMarco.
He comes in and he has a hand that's covered in blood.
I know what you can call him. Triple D. Danny David DeMarco. So this guy's suspicious from the jump.
Yeah, he really doesn't give any indication that he's not innocent, that he's not guilty of something.
Yeah, and, like, the way he acts is like,
oh, wow, what? He's dead?
Mel, oh, not Mel.
Well, look, I hurt my hand.
Not Mel.
This is a story. He hurt his hand, then he went on break to the ATM to get a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Then he went to a pawn shop to get some shit on layaway that he had for his mom.
But he doesn't come back with anything, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So that's part one of his dumb plan. And he gives up, like, too much information for someone who's, like, trying to give off their innocence, you know?
Yeah, he's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we boring you?
You're the one laying on a bed.
But I'm still talking, and I'm into it. I came up with Triple D. I've come up with a lot of things.
Yeah, you've come up with Triple D quite a bit.
I don't know what that means.
Means you're blowing three dudes. The
wow. That'd be quite a feat.
We're not talking about feet. We're talking about dicks. The
And that's what you could call it. You could call it the Triple D. And you could be going down to Flavortown.
That's the gay porno with the Guy Fieri.
And then if you were blowing a white guy, a black guy, and a ginger, you'd be having a Neapolitan Triple D.
You really got yourself with that one. You really did. That one fucking... That broke you. If you somehow do it in a car on a when it's off roading, you'd be getting some rocky road. Head.
Of course, it would have to be from Colorado, though.
Anyway,
that's a good Neapolitan Triple D.
Anyway, Triple D, Donnie or Danny Darko, he or DeMarco. Danny or Donnie DeMarco. He clearly has all his information down, so he doesn't look suspicious, but looks immediately suspicious.
But the thing was, I also felt like he came in, he was trying too hard to be like, I went to the bank.
Yeah, it's clear that something's fucking up.
I was at the bank.
He either, like...
Did someone say the word bank? Yeah, I was like, just at the bank.
Like, from the moment you see him, the attitude is either he did it or he knows what happened. Like, just
or,
by the way.
Or he is mentally challenged.
That's also possible. While they're talking to him, a phone call comes in, and Medavoy gets it, which really freaks him out.
And it should be a game we play. It should be mentally challenged or like serial killer.
Mentally challenged or murderer?
Yeah.
Or both. He freaks out while Medavoy's on the phone, and it turns out it's his dad.
Okay.
And his dad and Mel, the DOA, actually own this store. And he's giving him all this information, and then he's like, well, we got to take you back and ask you some more questions. He's like, look, I told you where I was. He's like, yeah, and we got some more questions. So they take
him. They lose their patience with him.
They take him away, the uniform cops, and Martinez is like, he should just wear a sign that said, I did it, or arrest me.
Yeah, everyone knows it, man. Everyone knows he's doing that shit.
When they come in, they bring in Mr. DeMarco, Donnie or Danny's dad, who was...
Donnie, Danny's dad, Dad DeMarco.
And as he walks in, he wants to be the one that tells Mel's wife... Because she doesn't want him to find out from a stranger on the news or something.
Yeah.
And when they put him in the room before talking to him, Fancy goes, hey, just so you know, Mel had some big political juice. Mel's got that political juice.
Mel's the dude who's dead.
Yeah, he had some big juice with the cops, so they're really looking at this.
Really? He was just like a mechanic.
Apparently a mechanic who, you know...
Was greasing the palms, man.
It's all about who you know and who you blow.
Greasing them palms.
The jeweler...
Greasing them palms.
The jeweler says Danny was in there to get some shit on layaway, but he was acting really nervous, and they thought he was going to rob them by how he was freaking out. As they're leaving, Medavoy tells Fancy, yeah, me and Martinez were talking about how this kid might as well have arrest me on his shirt. And what's really weird is, as they leave, Martinez is like, yeah, why would you put Fancy's hopes up that high that we're going to get it that easily?
Yeah, you don't do it like that. Always undersell, so when you go over, you look like a genius.
Mr. DeMarco, in their meeting with him, he says, look, Mel was a straight shooter and a good guy, and my son is a drug addict and non-employable. And after they hear... his son's alibi, which seems really thin, he's like, I want to talk to him right now. And Medavoy says, you can't. So he's like, can I leave? And when he gets up, he says, you tell him if he did this, I hope he burns in hell.
That's crazy coming from your dad.
Yeah, I can't really imagine.
I mean, I know, like, Mel was your best friend, but that's your kid, dude.
That is your kid.
Unless he's gotten so fed up with his kid stealing and shit from him, you know what I mean? Like, his kid probably has stolen from him to, like...
For drugs.
To, like, force his habit or to make his habit work. So I could definitely see his dad kind of being like, fuck this, Mel's cool.
Mel's cool. Mel's Danny cool. Or Donnie drools.
Danny, Donnie, Triple D.
I don't even remember what I named him.
He has that, like, creepy guy hair, too.
Danny, Donnie?
Yeah, it's, like, greasy parted, you know? Like, even though he's a mechanic, it's, like, still too greasy.
They go to talk to Danny Donnie.
Yeah.
And he's adamant that he didn't kill him and is upset that they are looking into him rather than looking for a killer on the loose. And then it seems after that they have a meeting with the Chief of D's. And the Chief of D's basically shows up to be like, look, they're taking this one really serious, so you got to get somebody.
Yeah, they're just adding more pressure to it.
And there's a weird baseball metaphor in this meeting. It's basically a metaphor for hitting the batter, where they said that's like you're saying, don't give him anything, don't walk him, but don't give him anything to hit, is what Fancy says.
Yeah.
And then the Chief of D says, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with timely hits.
Yeah, sometimes you got to hit somebody.
So they're implying that they're going to beat on this dude after Medavoy just had his beating revelation.
Well, I think what they're implying is we need the answer any way possible because the juice that's coming down is going to be wanting answers, so we need answers right away. So fuck the rules. Just break them and do what you want.
They go back in, and I wrote down meta voice face because when they go at Danny Donnie a second time, like, I can't describe it, but he gives kind of like this dumb face while he's looking at Danny, like, where it's like a cow staring off into the field is the face that Metavoy has on. And Danny Donnie is just saying, like, look, I didn't do this. Okay, I didn't do this. I understand that my dad loves him more than me and cares about him. And then when they explore that, they find out that Mel and his dad used to laugh at him and make fun of him.
Oh, yeah, they do bring that up.
Because Mr. DeMarco said that Mel was nice enough to give him a job, but he's not very good at his job. And now Danny Donnie is like, yeah, they make fun of me all the time, and they treat me terribly, and my dad always takes him to lunch, and then they leave me at home, or leave me at the place to brown bag it. When Metavoy kind of leans into, well, maybe is that why you got into an argument, he pulls back again. And then they give kind of a vague threat, like they might have to come back and start asking with their fists.
Metavoy is the most, it's so, so scary.
Martinez, after they get out of there, is like, look, we're going to have to beat this guy up. And then Metavoy's like, look, he hasn't asked for a lawyer because he wants to be forthcoming. We just got to get it out of him. There's a part with Cohen, which I'll leave until we get to Kirkendall's investigation, because Cohen comes in and asks where they are on the case, because he's getting calls about it too. And they say that we don't have anything. And he makes a comment. He's like, oh, yeah, well, you got your star detectives on it, Martinez and Metavoy.
Oh, yeah.
And Fancy's like, well, what is that supposed to mean? And he doesn't really.
Yeah, Martinez and Metavoy are kind of looked at as like babies.
Yeah, they're the kids.
They're definitely the double A team.
They go into Donnie and Danny again, and he's clearly jonesing for some drugs.
Is he sweating a lot?
Yeah, and he's a little shaky. And Martinez agitates and keeps, like, going at him. And then Metavoy is, like, the nice guy until he literally has him in his arms hugging him. And the guy cries out that he just couldn't take it anymore, and he killed Mel.
Yeah, it's a nice little turn. It's different. But I feel like, do you think he says that because he's just trying to get to some drugs?
He only admits it because he thinks he can get some methadone and some drugs.
Or something.
Because during these things, they threaten his methadone, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's another, like, fucked up tactic.
Be like, yeah, well, we're not going to get you your methadone.
Yeah, we're not going to get you the help that you need.
We know that you are addicted to this substance, which, of course, you did do to yourself.
Yeah, and you might be trying to get better, but we don't care.
We're just going to
fuck with you.
After he admits and signs it, Fancy comes in to throw out congratulations. And they're all like, well, it was Martinez quickly gives the props over to Metavoy, saying, oh, well, he sweetened up to Metavoy and got him under control. And then Metavoy, just to make every room he's in awkward, he's like, well, if he didn't go for it after I gave him that hug, I was going to give him one hell of a noogie.
He's so lame.
Like, and like, just the whole, all the air gets sucked out of the room.
He's so lame.
He's like so lame.
The worst dad jokes at the wrong time.
Just so we can get to the Cohen comment. Kirkendall gets a shaken baby.
Oh, yeah, with Lisa Ling?
Lisa.
What? Is that her name? Or is it Lucy Liu?
Lucy Liu.
Oh,
Lisa Ling.
Who's Lisa Ling?
Fucking racist.
No, Lisa Ling, I think, is the
porn star you confuse Lucy Liu with?
Journalist, bitch. Lisa Ling's a journalist.
Anyway, Kirkendall and Russell get a shaken baby. They go down to the hospital, and
do you think when she was shaking that baby, she was listening to Taylor Swift? Like, shake it off.
No, I don't think so.
Shake, 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 shake it off. I don't even know if that's how the song goes.
No, it isn't, but that's fine. I think I've listened to the chorus once, and I don't think that's how it goes. Kirkendall and Russell head down to Bellevue, where baby Tina has injuries consistent with shaking.
Shaking baby syndrome.
There's bruises on the brain, on the front and the back, and there are neck issues.
What if that baby was just like headbanging too hard? I blamed it on her. She's just like,
peace sells, but who's buying?
Listening to Megadeth.
Yeah, I mean, babies are real metalheads. Russ and Kirkendall check the baby, and Kirk asks, what's weird is Kirkendall asks if Simone and Russell are all good. I'm guessing because she wants to be sure she ain't getting any of that Simone action.
Or maybe she was just making sure that there wasn't an opportunity to strike.
Yeah, exactly.
With those Kirkendalls.
She said that there are injuries, whiplash injuries to both sides of the brain, front and back.
Wow.
Finger marks on the shoulder blades, thumbs on the chest. And the sitter says that she fell off a couch, which is like, okay. There's falling off a couch. And yeah, then
pushed
there's
a lot of babies off a couch. Those injuries are way different.
And the doctor says that the baby probably will die.
You don't shake the baby because it leaves all the evidence. You just push it off the couch.
The sitter is named Amy Chu. I think her middle name starts with an H, so it'd be Ah Chu.
An H?
Yeah, A-H Chu, so Ah Chu. It's a sneezing joke.
Amy H. Chu. Ah Chu.
Because it'd be A-H Chu.
Hey, Kirk, would it be A-H Chu?
God bless you. It's played by Lucy Liu.
Lisa Ling.
Who you will probably know her from Kill Bill Volume 1.
I know her from Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels.
Full Throttle.
And Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. And she's on the long-running Sherlock Holmes American adaptation Elementary, where she plays Dr. Watson.
Is that still on?
I think so.
No, I don't think it is. I'd love to see those statistics, but I don't think so. I think we got enough of Johnny Lee Miller or whatever his name was.
Yeah. I don't know if it is, but it. All I know is that when I saw it on IMDb and I saw the amount of years it was on, I was shocked.
Hey, here's the. I got a great idea for a TV show. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We take Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and we put them in present day LA.
Boom! There we go. I got it.
When
give me 8 years on CBS.
When they interrogate Amy, Tina's parents come in, Mr. and Mrs. Zhang.
They are hard-ass motherfuckers, dude.
And they
don't give a fuck.
They immediately blame Amy, and they shout at her, awful girl, you killed, or you hurt our baby.
Awful girl. You're awful girl.
Amy is brought back to the house, and she's clearly scared, and she's tearful and saying that she fell off the couch when Amy was going for a juice bar, which I don't know exactly what that is, juice bar. And then she reveals that she keeps a journal for every moment that the baby pisses, shits, sleeps,
mm-hmm.
breathes.
She's like a robot babysitter, if you think about it.
Yeah, very much so.
And then this is like her one act of emotion.
She ends that conversation by saying, I love the baby.
I love the baby.
I wasn't going to do it in the accent, but I knew you would.
I love
and
the baby. I love the baby.
She
said it in a weird way.
I love the baby.
I love the baby.
Do you love the baby?
I love the baby.
We're devolving here. Mr. and Mrs. Zing come into the house, and they want to talk to him. And they're
Zing!
And they're clearly shitty people. They told Amy to keep Tina awake so they could sleep at night.
Yep, no matter what, keep that baby awake. But I love the baby.
And the woman basically says, which is very shocking, she goes, because Kirkendall sniffs it out of him, she says, are you keeping that baby awake? And she says, yes, we're all tired and we all want to sleep at night. And it'd be like, okay, bitch, don't have children. Yeah. Hey, guess what? Don't have children. If you're this selfish, don't have
anything. Don't have a child, yeah.
Like,
if your sleep is that precious, don't have a child.
I feel like if this show was very, very into keeping a story for a long time, there'd be an episode down the line where Tina killed her mother with, like, violin wire because...
That's not her mother.
No, Tina would kill her mother because obviously her mother's a horrible person.
Oh, the baby, right.
Yeah,
right,
when Tina gets older.
Yes, Tina strangles her with like her violin cord.
Mm-hmm.
Her violin, what do they call it? The reed?
No, not a reed. I don't think so.
The reed's the thing you put in your mouth. Violin strings or whatever. What's that little fluffer thing called?
I don't know what the little fluffer thing is for
the
violins.
The string rubber.
Anyway, the
rub-a-dubber, that's what it's called.
The rub-a-dubber.
The violin rub-a-dubber.
Makes sense.
And you know they would play, make her play the violin. You know why?
Hmm.
Upper middle class.
Yeah, they're rich Asians.
Oh, you added the Asian part. I was staying away from that hot topic.
Yeah, when you were doing those accents earlier.
She loved a baby. I loved a baby.
Yeah, you stayed. Well, you stayed off that hot topic.
I don't even sound Asian, though.
It's clear that Kirkendall hates these people and is upset because it's clear.
Well, her mother instincts are kicking in.
Yeah.
She's on. She's a mama bear.
When Cohen comes into the precinct
mm-hmm.
on Medavoy and Martinez's case, Kirkendall walks up to Fancy and says that the baby died. And Fancy was like, well, where are you going to go after the babysitter? And she's like, yep, I'm going to have to go back in. And she's not very happy about it.
Well, because she knows she's going after the wrong person.
And Cohen says, she's a baby killer. Why the lack of enthusiasm? And Kirkendall says, oh, kiss my ass, Cohen. And then Cohen, as he's walking away, says, not an entirely unappealing thought. That's the clever meet-cute moment for that future relationship.
But he's such a frat dude.
He's such a dick.
And like, are all lawyers like that?
I don't think all of them are. Well, they go back at Amy, and she cries when explaining that she was trying to keep Tina awake, but she was just so tired.
Yeah.
And the reason she has to keep this job is because
she'll get deported back, right?
No, her mom was sick. And the Zangs agreed to pay for her medication as long as she's the babysitter.
Oh, damn. That's some fucked up shit.
That's why it's, like, pretty fucking horrible.
Because she loved the baby.
As you remember at the beginning of the episode.
I don't, because we've covered a lot of topics.
Sip and Simone caught Tony Perez.
That sounds like a sweet, like, album. Sip and Simone.
They caught a murder of 23-year-old
Sip and Simone.
Tony Perez, who was shot in the street. His girlfriend got her jacket taken.
Yeah.
She's not being forthcoming with what happened. Mm-hmm. Well, when they come back to the house, there's a uniform officer named Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Brings in Milo Guzman. And Milo Guzman stuck up a KFC with some homies and has info regarding their murder. As they go back to the interrogation room, or one of them, Sipowicz says, fetching necklace, Milo. Because he has a Latin King's necklace, I guess.
Uh-huh. Do you know what color the Latin Kings are?
I guess so.
No, do you know what color?
Aren't they yellow?
And purple.
Like the Lakers? Milo's worried about getting in trouble because if he gives up this information, he'll be putting himself at risk with the Latin Kings.
Well, he's definitely going to be killed.
And Simone says, stack it up with all your other offers. So he says Mr. Perez, Tony Perez, was with the Latin Kings, but he wanted to leave. And he says that the Latin Kings were going to go talk to him about his decision, and Tony shot first, and Milo ducked out. He said that ripping off the KFC was to get money so they can get out of town. Julio Diaz was the other guy sticking up who was in custody, and the guy who got away is Leo Ramirez, who is a crown jewel of the Latin Kings. Who apparently, when you want to leave, you have to go talk to a crown jewel and plead your case for wanting to leave the Latin Kings. And then they may allow it.
You have to get approval.
You have to get that crown jewel approval. There's a couple of forms you got to fill out. Milo says that Leo could be hanging out with a good friend of his named Rudy Moreno, who is a stand-up guy, apparently not into the life, as they say. Sipowicz, just to be a dick, goes, imagine a crown jewel in our very precinct. When they go to see Rudy to ask about Leo, he appears to have been a military policeman.
Yeah.
Seems to keep clean and whatnot, and they ask about him. And he says, I haven't seen him. He's kind of a drifter. And they said, well, you know what he's up to, and you could probably get us a hold of him. And then he says, look, I'm trying to get into the academy. And they say, hey, you help us find your friend. We might be able to help you get into that academy. But if you don't, we might just make sure you don't.
That's going to be real tough.
Which, I guess, the question I have is, it's not is that cool to do that to this kid, but it's also kind of like, is a person responsible for what their friends do?
Yeah, but if they've killed someone, you have a responsibility to get them, have them face their due.
Because in this, he says, do you want me to page him and I'll tell you where he's at?
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays with like cell phones and whatnot, you could, in theory, be like,
call them.
Yeah, I'll text him right now and figure out where he is and then just give you the information. Because this awkwardly, he says, I'll page him and tell him where you're at. And then when they go to pick him up, he's in the car with them and then lays down in the back seat after picking him out. And they have him put in the uniform car.
Yeah, I don't think they do that in real life. That's too
risky.
Yeah.
When they pick up Leo in the bodega, I guess they're at, where like they're in the back room just drinking and smoking and carrying on, he knows somebody ratted because he says, I'll deal with that guy who told you where I'm at or told you what I did.
Yeah, but I don't think they know. He knows who.
He doesn't know exactly who.
Yeah, I don't think he knows exactly who did it.
Simone takes the jacket off of his girlfriend and says, yeah, this belongs to somebody else. He's like, what are you talking about? I bought her that. He's like, yeah, maybe in your dreams. They go hard at him, and he just plays coy in the interrogation room. But he gives up a lot of info because he mentions the girl who had been with Latin Kings before, so he obviously knows who they're talking about. Uh-huh. He mentions Tony wanting out, and then he talks about the existence and the politics of Crown Jewels, so he clearly knows what the fuck's going on. So even though he's not giving it up, he seems to have given them...
Gives them enough.
So they go back at Wanda, because if they get her to point him out, then they have a pretty shut case. And the way they do it, which I found kind of unethical, is they go, oh, so I heard you're getting some money for your baby after the story. She's like, yeah, they're giving us some money. He's like, well, we can get you more. We can get you set up for life if you tell us who did it. And then even when it got to a point where it's clear they were lying, because he's like, yeah, this guy, he likes to work on these stories, and he doesn't just jump out. He's there for a while because he doesn't want any scandals about leaving people high and dry. And then she looks in like the mirror, which is the two-way mirror, and she's like, okay, it was him. He did it, because she thinks she's going to get paid. When I think they know full well that she's going to get maybe a little bit of something, and then they're going to fucking forget about her, because of course they are.
Yeah, I don't look at it as being fucked up that they made her, that they did that to her, because, I mean, she should have the obligation to do the right thing, you know?
So with that, they basically got this guy dead to rights, and Simone gets a visit from Rudy, the guy that gave up his friend. And he said, look, man, you're going to have to make decisions like this. And
they're basically prepping him to be a cop.
And he says, was that just a bunch of talk? Are you actually going to talk to my guy? And he says, isn't your investigating officer, blah, blah, blah. And he says, yeah. He's like, yeah, I got a meeting with him tomorrow.
And basically, they're just preparing him to be a cop. That's all that is.
Then he gives him one of those attaboy handshakes, and then he's off. The end of this episode, we got two scenes. One, Medavoy is at a dinner with Abby and her girlfriend, Kathy.
Yeah, and then doesn't he start talking about vaginas?
Well, it's awkward because the sequence goes, he's obviously uncomfortable. They're like, look, it's all good. He asks for more wine. He freaks out like maybe that's too much wine. He reveals that he wanted to be a teacher.
Could you imagine him being a teacher?
He would get eaten alive.
That's like Presbyluski being a teacher.
Who?
In The Wire, season 4. Presbo.
Presbo from The Wire, season 4, he becomes a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like him. He's kind of a bitch.
They talk about Kathy being a writer. She works for a copy agency, but she also does poetry, and she's writing a novel.
Uh-huh.
Greg says he's just full of admiration because of that, a weird way to put it. Then Abby says Greg is a great detective. How would she know?
Yeah, she. Well, unless it like gets around, you know?
They start...
Hey, that metaphor is a good detective.
They start making a joke that was, I guess he was worried we'd start singing sea shanties. So Greg starts to sing one.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then he's like, look, I feel comfortable and I don't want to be forward. Is that a vagina on the wall?
Yeah. But that just goes to show you that that's all he's thinking about.
He's thinking about vagina.
So he thinks he's going to get some... vagina.
And then Kathy says, Greg...
It is, Greg. It's mine.
No, he says, Greg, you're a cool guy. And then they switch places so he doesn't look at the vagina.
Yeah, that whole sequence thing where she's like, I think you're a pretty cool guy. Like, it was so weird.
Part of me, a small part of me, thought, these are just two lesbians that are openly making fun of a straight guy. Almost like it's dinner for schmucks.
Yeah, it kind of came off like that.
Like, you know what we'd like to do with our lesbian time?
Because they like kept to, like, laughing at little things that he did and shit.
Like, we like to find a straight-laced white guy who's clearly going to be uncomfortable, and we just want to bring him over so we have ourselves a good laugh.
Yeah, we're going to make it awkward and make him think like we're going to try to have sex with them, but then we're going to pull the rug out from under him.
The last scene of the episode, Simone and Russell went to see Jerry Maguire. She talks about...
You complete me. Right, is that from Jerry Maguire?
Yes. She talks about how cute he is, and Bobby thinks she's talking about Tom Cruise when she was talking about the little boy.
Mm-hmm. The little boy. But I love the baby.
As they walk away from the theater, she's like, I want a couple of those. And he's like, what, kids? And she goes, yeah. And he's like, oh, okay. Diane says to him, that's when you're supposed to say, I want to give them to you, Diane. And then it cuts back to Simone, who just says, oh, you know I do. And you know he's just thinking going in without a condom on.
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking.
Or all dogging
it. He's thinking, I don't need to worry about no party hats.
All natural, baby.
The way it was meant to, before AIDS got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts saying, show me the ring. Kind of like show me the money. And I think this was kind of trying to trade off the Jerry Maguire money.
Show me the money.
And he's like, well, the ring's back at my place. And she's like, okay, let's go there. Does this place have transportation? And Bobby, like, sees a taxi. He's like, yo, I gotta go have sex. Yeah, like,
gotta go put my dick in this. Let's go.
Yo, we need to go right now. And then she...
Probably gonna spooge in your car.
She makes out with him before getting in the car and says, I love you, Bobby. And then he says, sir, I'm gonna show her the ring. And then the car takes off and the episode ends. And I just love to imagine that scene from the perspective of the taxi driver. Just like, God, I got these two people just wouldn't stop touching each other.
So are we supposed to believe that they're married?
They're engaged.
They're engaged now?
Yes.
Well, it's weird. He didn't even like ask her.
Well, he did ask her several episodes ago.
Yeah, but like,
then
yeah,
she went through her,
ask her.
Then she went through her phase. And then now she wants to get engaged. Yeah, and so she wants him to put babies inside of her.
Her face of being a bitch.
Is there anything about this episode you'd like to talk about before we get to the end?
Yeah, what really draws me into the show is in this episode. And it's how much she loved a baby. You thought it was going somewhere important for a second, but didn't you?
Every episode of Asher Brothers podcast.
Hey, Kirk, real quick. I love the baby.
Every episode of Asher Brothers podcast is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, or on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast.
If it's Apple Podcasts, why do you say iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts? Shouldn't you just take iTunes out of it altogether?
Because.
Is it because you love the baby?
It's because it's something I'm used to saying, and it's hard to unlearn.
Not really. Just stop saying iTunes.
Hey, do you know how long we've been doing this?
No.
Years. And you know how many times I've said those same phrases?
At least.
Too many to count.
300.
So when I say you can get our podcast on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, usually what comes after that is definitely iTunes, when in fact it's now Apple Podcasts, which is a lot more to say. And it's not, doesn't roll off the tongue as easy. So I gotta unlearn something. To do it.
Do you love the baby? I love the baby.
Have a good one and keep watching NYPD Blue.
And love the baby.
Thanks again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you need NYPD Blue in your life, like we all do, you can always head to Hulu or Amazon Instant Streaming. Every single episode of The Best Show Ever is available there. If you need more NYPD Blue information, there's always True Blue, a book written about the first couple seasons by a creator and consultant. You can check out Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for 99 cents. You can always check out What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles written about the series. If you love or hated the show, please rate and review NYPD Blue Balls on whatever platform you use to listen to it. If you do that, it'll show up in more people's searches and whatnot, and it would be nice to know that people are listening, even if you don't like it. I will listen to your criticisms and then probably not change much about the show because I don't have the money, time, or means to do so. But please rate and review the show. Talk to us on Twitter. Well, mostly me, Kirk. Asher Bros Pod on Twitter and Asher Bros Podcast on Instagram. And keep watching NYPD Blue.